we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a notice spotted in the gents at Leicester General Hospital, read by Peter Donaldson.
Wet floor. This is not an instruction.
Thanks to Dave Crossan for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome, first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Rebecca Front. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran, and making her first appearance on the news quiz, Glenys Kinnock. Jeremy, why is the best of British no longer good enough?
This is based on a sort of misquote of a misinterpretation of a misreading of something that wasn't said. Which, fair play, is what we do every week for half an hour. But this is quite a perfectly sensible report about the fact that Britain is a multicultural society and still having trouble adjusting to that fact, and that people associate the idea of being English or British with being white, which is no longer the case, and this is all perfectly valid. But it used the expression that the word British is racially coded, meaning that people draw a connotation from it meaning white. And this got seized upon, and people went mad. And the Telegraph, of course, went off on one, and they could have taken any part of the sentence and gone off at some tangent, you know. They could have said, if British is indeed code, it's all the more important that we get back hold of the Enigma machine, which was used to defeat the Nazis, who, although having many good policies, were, after all, foreign. Following that, Jack Straw went off on one, obviously, and he said that we should be proud to be British. Although I tend to think you should only be proud of things that you've actually achieved. And those of us who were born in Britain or British parents haven't really achieved anything. Surely it is the people who have become British who have a right to be proud of that. But it's all based on a big misunderstanding of something that was actually quite sensible. So there we go. It's me being level-headed for once, audience.
Because, you see, whilst Jack Straw is saying this, the health ministers are asking Filipino nurses and others to come here to bolster our health service. So I suppose the messages are not actually matching very well.
Indeed.
Can I still wear Union Jack underwear? Is that all right? I dress to the right in my Union Jack underwear. I think you know that.
But with the coming devolution, surely we should cut the flag up and make bunting out of it, because it's all triangles. And rather than do one castle, you could do a whole street.
As long as you have a Welsh dragon somewhere in amongst it.
Oh, he does.
I shall say nothing.
To most people, British is simply the word the English use about anyone from Wales, Scotland or Northern Ireland who wins an Olympic medal. The report also reminds its readers that the word English has many unfortunate connotations, mainly when it's followed by the words football and team. 2 points to Jeremy. Rebecca, why did William Hague have to relax his stance because of a puffed-up joint?
Yeah, hey.
This was an extraordinary sight this week of a whole load of Tory MPs jumping on the Cool Britannia bandwagon, in my opinion, and trying to claim that they'd all smoked joints in the past, and nobody for a second believed it. you just had to look at the photographs of those MPs who'd said that they'd taken dope, and I remember an old jazz musician's phrase, which was, they couldn't swing if you hung them, and you just you look at these guys and you think, they would not know a bong from a something that wasn't a bong.
But I love the idea that the last one who came out was Tim Yeo, who's the Shadow Minister for Agriculture, which is wonderful. I mean, I wonder where he grows the stuff. It's enough to elect them in the first... I would vote for them on that.
And the idea that Francis Moore is a flower child of the 70s is very difficult to deal with.
But they all said they didn't enjoy it, though, didn't they? I experimented with it with an older boy with whom I was temporarily infatuated, but I didn't... I'd had one puff, and frankly, it wasn't for me. And I maybe thought I decided not to do it. They never sort of say, "Lord, righteous curry weed."
Well, Tim Yeo did. All credit to him. He did say it was quite pleasurable.
No, it's true. Only Portillo had said that. We forgive him so much, wouldn't we?
Was it a setup? I mean, that's the question, isn't it? Did Portillo set it all up?
Oh, he did.
The withdrawal of the claims and...
The idea that Portillo was set up for withdrawal is something, something I shall take with me into the still watches of the night and consider during the shipping forecast.
Anne Widdecombe has now retracted her call for everyone on dope to be charged £100. Since so many of her colleagues are buying it, she'll do them a bulk discount at £85 a head. In total, 8 top Tories have come out in support of the evil weed. The rest are not sure if they should continue to back William Hague. Glenys, welcome to the News Quiz. Why did Mighty Mouse walk after the 3 lions failed to roar?
Ah, it's Kevin. It's Kevin with his forlorn and flopping St. George's flag outside his Teesside house. Did you know that?
No, he has a forlorn flopping Teesside. It's a reference flag, to Alan's underwear, is it?
He cried and he was deeply upset. But, I think the greatest story to follow the Keegan problem is The Sun running a campaign about a donkey called Jackass. And Jackass now has had 4 times more votes to be the next manager of the England team.
You'd be a very good manager. Should I play up front, boss? Nay, lad.
That's horses. Oh, sorry. Your animal noises. Jackass is a... Can't we just accept that we're not very good at football? Well, I mean, we're good at things where you can be old and fat and clumsy and uncoordinated, like rugby and darts and ice dancing and stuff. Things where you have to run and...
What we are great at is conkers.
Yeah.
This is the week.
Maybe that's a mistake. We need to start soaking our footballs in vinegar and baking them in the oven.
When English credibility was hanging by a thread.
Oh. 2 points to Glenys. Alan, listen to this. Lessons in Love by Level 42. Alan, who doesn't just like virgins, they love them.
Well, this is Baroness Jay, Queen of the House of Lords. She's got together with another woman, Tessa Jowell, and they've spent £60 million in a poster campaign telling the children of England that men lose their virginity at 16 and girls lose their virginity at 17. Makes you wonder about that strange intervening year when the young blokes are looking for middle-aged women. the government, it's another government initiative. It's very difficult for me, next to Glenys, to actually say anything about Tony Blair, because I don't know how she feels about the present government. But certainly this is another bold new initiative to create a visionary Britain, somewhere in which the Blair baby can grow up and hang on to his pudding for as long as possible. And I welcome it. £60 million to tell girls they can't have it till they're 17. It seems ridiculous. I'd tell them that for nothing.
But the interesting...
So tell us the truth, Glenys. Have you had spliff or not? Come on, here's your chance.
I'm on message. I don't take part in surveys.
Message? I've never heard of that one.
You take it when you're not in a survey.
The government will be spending £60 million this year trying to convince teenage girls to stay virgins. Unfortunately, at the same time, teenage boys will be spending £65 million on Hooper's Hooch. We start round 2 with a cutting from the Daily Mail's exclusive high grow feature on Prince Charles.
Charles is very much a hands-on gardener who loves to weed, prune and deadhead himself.
Thanks to Kate Levy of Louth in Lincolnshire for that. Jeremy, which visitor to Rome isn't going to stand for any of that Italian sauce?
Oh, this is Her Majesty the Queen, who's going to Italy. She's not taking that bloke, is she? Why is she still with him? The kids are grown up. She could... She could do a course. aromatherapy for monarchs. But she's going off, and he's going to embarrass her, obviously. He'll shuffle up to the Pope and say, ooh, I don't mind you eye-tie papists. It's the Polacks I can't stand. anyway, she's going to meet the Pope, but she said, no garlic for me, thanks. But she's the Queen. She could dictate that everybody else has to have garlic as well, if she's planning on kissing anybody. Although the Pope usually sticks to tarmac, really. He's not... He's not a big snogger on the international scene, His Holiness. But English people of a certain age are a bit soppy about garlic and coffee. They say, oh, no coffee for me, thanks. Oh, no, I'll be awake all day. But they're not going to pray together. They're not. This is bizarre because they thought this would be a problem. If he can't have the two, because she's a prod, and he's a pape, and they can't pray together at the same time, because God will just say, one at a time, one at a time. God, sorry, John Paul, what were you saying? No, I think she does like you. I think it's just English reserve, that's all. But yeah, no, they're not allowed to pray together because it would cause offence, because we broke from Rome. And that's why our churches are so boring, because after in the Reformation, they tore down all the idolatry and graven images and replaced them with giant thermometers. But she's not going to have garlic or pray with His Holiness the Pope.
But she didn't say that she didn't want garlic. The only edict that they give is that Her Majesty will not have seafood. For obvious reasons, they said. I'm not sure what the obvious reasons are.
Oh. She's Jewish.
When are you talking about... I can't believe that Her Majesty ever has the problems that seafood might create, so it's...
No, that's why they have to build a special toilet for her wherever she goes.
And paint it.
They do.
They do, and they paint it. They believe, I know this from experience, the royal family believe that all of us use toilets that smell of paint. Because they only ever go into toilets, old toilets that normal mortals use, that smell of paint.
I think you're mixing her up with Anne Widdecombe. She's the one who can't go near garlic because she shrivels up. I wonder what she does in daylight.
Though some feel she's unsuited to be head of the church, the Queen, along with her mother and sister, has often been seen in fervent prayer, especially during the last Strait and the 3:30 in Wincanton. Queen's list of likes and dislikes is much shorter than Prince Philip's, the 6 pages of which included chinkies, kinkies, fops, wops, dagos, sagos, mixed spits, unions, wankunions, nudes, suds, and anything you can't shoot. Rebecca, which latest government policy beggars believe?
This is the thing about not giving money to beggars,
mm-hmm.
I think, on the basis that it's better to give money to the Salvation Army or Shelter or other organisations.
And they're spending £250,000 on telling us not to give our money to beggars. Why don't they just go around London giving out £250,000 to beggars who will enjoy it and buy a tin of cider?
Because they might use that money to buy some dope from Tory shadow cabinet ministers.
They'll set up a unit next week to find out when beggars lose their virginity. And stop them.
Of people asking for your money. There's the RAC hanging around outside supermarkets, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. If somebody who does drawings on the pavement or sits on a sleeping bag wants my money, it's up to me whether I give it to them or not. As an Englishman, that is my right. And now let us seize power. We are few, but we are incoherent.
The government is launching £250,000 ad campaign to urge people not to give money to beggars because they'll only spend it on drugs. Charities, however, have warned the government not to give £250,000 to advertising people because they'll do exactly the same. Two points to Rebecca. Alan, why is remembrance a tall order?
Oh, this is heartbreaking. Merchant seamen, who are less than 5'4", and all wear glasses, will not be allowed to march past the cenotaph come Remembrance Sunday, because they're too short to represent heroism. They don't believe short people can be heroic. They've never seen a dwarf-throwing contest. And it, it's awful. I have nothing to say about it, because I'm deeply moved by this. There were large numbers of short men died in the war. Imagine a lot of tall ones died because they stood up and looked over the... and that was... Perhaps that's what they're saying, that short men got away with the murder then. I don't know, but the idea that the Merchant Navy can't commemorate his dead because they're too short, and I suppose the glasses thing is all right because they wouldn't, perhaps might not recognise the cenotaph, and you don't want them marching down Pall Mall, turning left and ending up in the National Gallery. but it's just the world is very hard on merchant seamen. They don't like putting hard and semen together in the same sentence. That's the way the world is.
It's actually all about keeping in step with the Royal Navy as well, isn't it? Because my dad was a merchant seaman, always felt that their contribution to the war was never recognised, and so to do this is adding insult to injury.
But you actually want small blokes. Wouldn't want to be in a submarine with large blokes. Unless you were Portillo, you'd have to squeeze by them all the time. You want little fellas. Also, if they had to eat one another, they'd go further. if they were small. And they're probably tenderer, short merchant seamen. Get those large leathery buggers and be up there for days.
Because years ago, people misunderstood Alan's problem with shell shock, and now we realise... Now we realise that he is just a barking old fool.
You can't be in the Merchant Navy if you're bald, either. Because your hat blows off in high wind. It's terrible. Sort of tether it.
The Royal Fleet Auxiliary have banned merchant seamen under 5'4" from taking part in the remembrance ceremony at the Cenotaph. Glenys, why did William Hague have a hairy moment when presented with the bold truth about his chances of being the main man?
Someone to whom I am related by marriage did an interview this week where he said that those of them who are follically challenged will never be elected as prime ministers, and that Hague and he shared having heads that looked like skating rinks, and that Attlee was lucky he lived in an era where he could wear a hat. So he thinks that it's a major problem that if you're bald, you never get to be elected to be prime minister.
Correct.
To be hair over then.
One dream out of the window.
Yes.
I've always been rather unkind to people like Alan with flesh-coloured highlights. But, my hair is starting to thin rather dramatically,
yes.
As the audience here will testify. Testify, brothers and sisters. What annoys me about this is it's not taken seriously as a disability. I mean, bits of your head are falling off. You should get benefit or special facilities or something. And we just accept this as normal, and it's not right. If you woke up in the morning with a couple of ears on the pillow, you'd be mortified. It shouldn't be. It's there for a reason. What do you say, Dad?
Listeners should know that they're pointing. Even Glenys, who's married to a slaphead, is pointing. This makes me feel very good. Tony's terrified because his hair's falling off.
It is.
Absolutely
definitely
terrified.
Is.
It is. He's got crown pattern baldness. And he'd like to have a crown, but he's just stuck with crown pattern baldness.
They sound like his lawyer's crown pattern baldness.
Glenys' husband, Neil Kinnock, gave a dire warning to William Hague that bald men do not have a history of becoming Prime Minister. Neil Kinnock himself suffered from the added problem of being russet-haired, which was obviously a major disadvantage, because no one with red roots stands a chance in New Labour. 2 points to Glenys Allen, whose drawings could exceed £8 million.
Well, this is a Michelangelo that's turned up in a book at Castle Howard, home of Brideshead, and... They found this drawing of what looks very much like a beggar. And he's probably not going to be allowed to be torn up by the government and thrown away. But it's a piece of paper dashed off by Michelangelo in between putting 2 coats of distemper on the Sistine Chapel and making good, removing all rubbish from sight. And he dashed off this drawing, and it ended up in as most foreign things do, ended up in multi-ethnic Britain because we stole it. it's turned up at Castle Howard.
Very extraordinary coincidence. A prototype of Tracy Emin's unmade bed turned up at my house this week.
You can't get a crowbar between these teams. So before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Lime Bay Diary.
Film competition. To win, all you have to do is answer the following question. Who starred in Enter the Dragon? Answers on a postcard, please, to Bruce Lee Competition, here.
That's Lewis Wakeman of Lyme Regis. Jeremy, your music. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Why is catching and throwing considered men's work?
They've done another test to prove that women are different from men. They did it with mice. They gave mice cricket balls and said, see, they can't throw them. Oh, the cat's got her. Oh, well. But no, they got some buckets, and they got about 4 women and men. and they gave them stones to throw, and they threw the stones. But the women weren't very good, because the women were just going, oh, I'm sorry, could you help me with this? You look like a big, strong man or something. I don't know. Seemingly, women are not very good at throwing, which is bizarre, because the overarm bowling technique was invented by a lady in the 90s, and it's because of crinoline, apparently. Because ladies have to sit on horses sideways, because ladies' horses wear corsets, which are too tight, so the horse faints. So the lady must be able to slide off quickly to avoid being trapped. So ladies have to be able to bowl overarm, but now women can't do it. But then, considering that England invented cricket and now can't do it, that's hardly surprising. So women can't throw, apparently.
And there'll be another chance to catch that talk from the Duke of Edinburgh tomorrow. A survey has reported that men are better at throwing than women, except in the case of the England cricket team. American scientists researching human evolution found that men were much better than women at throwing stones into a bucket. But they're still much worse at having a quickie. I'm sorry, it's much worse at baking a quiche. So 2 points to Jeremy. Rebecca, who ran to tell the world they'd caught a whiff of the sweet smell of success? Who ran to tell the world they'd caught a whiff of the sweet smell of success?
Is this the eel chap?
No.
It's somebody sporting then, isn't it?
Oh, I know. Is it trainers?
Yes.
You can, but there's a shoebox, and if you put your trainers in them, they don't smell. And the reason for that is those are new trainers. That's why they're in a box. See, but scientists who've flawed methodology think that there's some correspondence between the box and the lack of smell. So they're frantically putting trainers back in their boxes, thinking that the smell will go away.
Yeah, that's right. There were two scientific reports this week. One proved, apparently, that girls can't throw. And the other one...
But you're very charming, nonetheless.
And the other one came up with this thing about, you know, we can now cure smelly trainers. Neither of which is going to add materially to the sum of the world's knowledge, really. But it does tell you a great deal about science students, I think, doesn't it?
I wasn't going to say, actually, Rebecca, but your trainer's an half honk.
It comes straight out of the box.
Was it a cricket box?
The research team at Barts Hospital in London have developed what teenagers have long dreamed of owning, a germ-killing shoebox that will neutralise smelly trainers. Having been donated over 200 smelly trainers, the research team were able to isolate and identify not just 7 distinct noxious odours, but also the original recipe for Limes World Cheese. 2 points to Rebecca. Glenys, relatively speaking, why will it now be a little easier to keep up with the Joneses?
The Joneses.
Must be a Welsh question.
I am trying to think of some Welsh reference.
I'm sitting next to Glenys. What am I going to say? I can't talk about sheep.
Concentrate on Jones.
Catherine Zeta.
Yes!
Oh, the baby.
No, the fact that she's making money out of her old man. We knew.
Yes.
Did know this. Mm. You didn't give us enough of a
run. Why didn't you tell us and we could all go home?
What does Zeta mean in Welsh?
We don't have a Z in Welsh.
Really?
It's not in the alphabet.
So deprived, aren't you? Go down the mines.
We have a short, meaningful alphabet.
Good God, you've got your own assembly, but not a Z.
The only thing I know about the Welsh language...
An assembly.
Is it, you can't take the law seriously in Wales, because I've been to Wales.
It doesn't show.
No. But I remember very clearly that policemen are called policemen. It's P-L-I-S-M-A-N. You can't take anybody seriously. It's got it written on their cars. Police. You can stop for a car with police on the side.
The brilliant thing about the Welsh language is there's no words for anything that's less than 10,000 years old. So if you watch the news on S4C, it goes, bin chlag yn chlaid yn chlaid yn aeroport, yn chlaid yn chlaid yn chlaid yn chlaid yn aeroplane, yn chlaid yn chlaid yn chlaid yn a wheel.
I suppose you'll be claiming that airport is an Anglo-Saxon word. Come on, come on.
It's a Huguenot word. Can you speak any Welsh, though, Glenys?
I speak Welsh, yes.
Do you? Mm. Oh, fair play.
But not like you, not as well as you do.
Catherine Zeta-Jones has agreed to a prenuptial agreement. She gets $1 million for every year that the marriage exists instead of the original $3 million that her lawyers are asking for. New mum Catherine says she loves the fact that baby Dylan has come into her life, as it makes a nice change to have a man more her age around the house. Before we reveal the thrilling final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
I didn't bring one, but Rebecca's kindly giving me one, and it's from a woman's magazine. I'm sorry, no, it has given me her cutting, very kindly. And it's from a women's magazine's A to Z of Health. Mumps, treatment is to rest in bed and take mild painkillers if necessary. If the sufferer has swollen testicles, severe pain, a stiff neck or is sensitive to light, a doctor should be killed.
Rebecca, which did you save for yourself?
I've saved the one with the very difficult pronunciations in it, so forgive me for this. This is from the Budapest Sun, apparently, and it goes like this. The Budapest police denied reports that mice are invading the Gyorskovsky Utca police building, as earlier reported. The nation's epidemiological... That was the difficult bit. The nation's epidemiological chief inspected the building and said that there is only one mouse responsible for eating five bulletproof vests in a wooden box. As a result, the police do not need the 14 cats that the population offered.
Glenys.
This is from The Express. When a one-armed man was interviewed after an accident in Barnsley, police discovered that he had been driving for 16 years, steering with his knees when he needed to change gear. He had crashed while on his way to an arcade to play the one-armed bandits.
Alan.
Now, I have this from the Lancashire Evening Post, Simon. Asked why he had taken the weather vane, Maudsley told the court that he had climbed onto the church roof looking for lead, but there wasn't any. He continued, if I came home empty-handed in the middle of the night, the wife would have thought I was up to no good.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Alan and Glenys have a perfect 16, but thanks to my fraudulent scoring system, Jeremy and Rebecca, this week's winners with 17 points. With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Jeremy Hardy, Rebecca Front and Glenys Kinnock. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Dave Cohen and Tom Jameson, and the producer was Lucy Armitage.